Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Dan Strafford, George Kurtz back here on Fantasy Sports Today, talking week three NFL. We'll open up the phone lines in our second segment of this hour. So if you want to write down the phone number, put it into your cell phone, maybe commit it to memory, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. And as always, happy to take your questions over on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio. That's at FNTSY Radio. Of course, it's at George Kurtz, at Dan Strafford as well. As I've said many times over, George and I are the most creative Twitter handles out there in the universe. So let's continue on here as we talk through these week three matchups, trying to find maybe some diamonds in the rough when it comes to your season long or daily fantasy. We will, in our final segment of the day, go through our top plays in daily fantasy and our what bets maybe George has already booked or ones he may be looking to after we get through this show. Let's talk Oakland and Miami. George, this is one of the situations, a West Coast team traveling to the East Coast for a 1 p.m. game. Always a red flag for me. So I'm not really necessarily, I don't know how many different words I'm going to throw in there that mean may not do. But I may not be on Oakland at all here. Miami on the other side, 2-0, leading the AFC East. Break up the Miami Dolphins. And Devontae Parker not on the injury report. Not really a game I'm interested in watching. Looks like it may be a messy one when it comes to skill players. But what do you got here?
Well, please, let us know how you really feel. They're always duds every Sunday, right? You know, the Miami Dolphins are 2-0. How could you say this about the 2-0 Miami Dolphins?
That's true. You're right.
They're in first place, Dan. And hell, they might be 3-0. I think this could be a spot for Oakland's first win. I do, but man, history tells us West Coast teams coming to the East Coast playing the 1 p.m. game, rough. You know, this is one of those times where I wonder. I already said it. If you, as far as schedule is concerned, there are 10 1 o'clock games tomorrow. Only 3 4 o'clock games. You know, it's good for me. I have three TVs about the fireplace. I'll be able to watch all three live, so I like it. But couldn't you make this game at 4? Maybe spread out the love a little bit here. You know, and you got the West Coast team making it a 4 o'clock. I know maybe the Miami Dolphins don't want it to be 4 o'clock. Maybe the fans prefer 1 o'clock, and I get that. You got to cater to the fans. I understand that completely. But I'm surprised when you have this, like I said, 10-3. I would just like to see that be a little better. You know, I'm not saying it's got to be, you know, 7-7, or in this case 7-6, but, you know, 8-5 really wouldn't kill anybody. But whatever, I digress. As for this game. I think Miami's doing it with mirrors right now. You know, they beat the Jets. They beat Tennessee, who lost everybody in week one, including Mariota. So I certainly don't think Miami's, like, we didn't know they were going to be a good team. They're not a good team. They're just, their schedule's been in their favor, and it is this week again. And, listen, they haven't even played the Buffalo Bills yet. Go right. Dolphins, go. You're starting everybody you normally would here. I'm starting Lynch. I'm not starting Carr. I have to be pretty desperate to start Carr in anything but a two-quarterback league. But you're starting Lynch here. You're going to start Cooper, right? I'm starting Cooper. I'm not starting Jordy Nelson, which I really wasn't anyway, nor am I starting anybody else. So that's really all I got for the Raiders. But it's funny how, you know, Gruden said last week that in week one, Cooper was open. The film said he was open. That Carr didn't throw it to him or didn't hit him. Well, last week, he hit him an awful lot. So, you know, squeaky wheel got the grease and all there. So good for Cooper. I'm fine starting him. Miami Dolphins don't have the greatest of defenses. I'm not so sure I like anybody on Miami. You know, Kenyon Drake is an okay running back. I don't think he's great. They brought in Frank Gore for a reason there. And through the first two games, you know, as far as rushing attempts, Kenyon Drake, 25, Gore, 18. So Gore's eating into those attempts. You know, he's not just your typical back who plays every now and then. He is eating into some attempts there. And they're not running the ball an awful lot anyway, which is because that's only 43 attempts through two games with two solid running backs. You're not really running the ball. I don't like the offense. I don't. That being said, I probably am going to start Kenny Stills. You know, I think for Tannehill, he seems to be the only receiver he can hit. And I don't know what's going on with Devontae Parker, by the way, but they're not totally committed to starting him again this week. And Parker was mad he didn't play last week. You know, so there seems to be some issues going on there. Like I said, I don't love the scan. Oh, I think points could be scored. I don't think even defense is very good. But Stills, Drake, I probably have to start. Those are the only two guys from Miami, and it's really just Cooper and Lynch from Oakland. This is a blah game, as you were talking about. It's not a lot to like here. This is another one of those games, three TVs, both the fireplace. Other than when it comes on the Red Zone channel, won't be watching much of it.
I feel like if you had five TVs and the fifth TV was like a 13-inch black and white from like 85, it might be on that TV. Yeah, well, so did I. That's I'm there with the dials on. Yeah, that and the bunny ears antennas. That
you
that
kids
would be
have no idea what it used to be like.
I used to have to
get up and change the channel. or sit right by the TV. I used to sit right by the TV, you know, and do it real quick. Did it get back between was it 2 and 4 back in the day when MCC had the afternoon football games? And you got that first cable box that had like the piano thing where you could do the machine gun to change.
Oh yeah, you just slam down the keys. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was always fun. You
unplug the Intellivision or the Atari. You have to unplug the Atari to make sure you're
right,
because it went into the coax.
One input.
Yep, exactly. Oh, so good, so good. And now I can watch anything on my phone. So there it is. Let's talk next. I'm with you on this game. I do agree Cooper and Lynch make a ton of sense. But overall, this is just a game that black and white TV. That's how I will refer to this one. It just does not feel like one I'm intrigued to watch in any way. Looking at line -150 in favor of the Dolphins. It's -3. So pretty much a pick 'em. 44.5 over under. I want nothing to do with this game. Like it's one of those I don't want to even consider any of these bets because I don't want to have to watch. I don't want to have to know the results of this one because it just feels like it's going to be an ugly contest. So I'll stay away from
that. Let me ask you a question.
Yep.
I know you and I aren't. You know, we're not Cam Stewart. We're not Gabriel Morency. We're not betting every game and every
right.
prop.
Right. Yes. Correct.
Find.
Yep.
But you know, now this is more of a standalone games than it is for a Sunday of football because there's lots of action here. But if this game was the night game. Mm-hmm. You know, the Sunday night game, Thursday night game, Monday night game, I'd probably have a bet on it. Just to make it a little bit, especially if I had no fantasy players in it. I'm not saying a high bet, you know, $25, whatever, 50, whatever it might be. But this is one of those kind of games where I just might put something down just because, as you said, it's this game sucks. There's nobody I'm really want to roll. There's nobody on my fantasy teams here. I need something to root for here. This is a game I probably would put a little bit something on. I would.
I'd
probably go with Miami -3. If I had to choose, mainly because of that 1 o'clock thing. If it was a night game, I might go the over.
I see. What's funny is I would go Miami -3 and the under. I just feel like this is an ugly game that Miami wins. Oakland's terrible. Carr throws a couple of picks, so I might try to mix a parlay in single game here and see how many different ways I can get Miami in the under and the money line to figure it out. But. You're right. I mean, you're right. If it's a standalone game, it's a Thursday night game. Being it's part of this 1 o'clock block, I will have nothing to do with it. But if it was a standalone, of course, you're right. Yes, you're right. Of course, there'd be a different.
I think it's the way a lot of us work. You know, let's put a little action on it. Now, so the game becomes more interesting. I mean, listen, we're football guys anyway. I'm watching the game either way. Yeah, you know, even if I didn't have any money, I'm still watching the game. But there is a little more incentive to put something on it. If, like I said, standalone game. No fantasy players. And so you really have nothing to really root for. If I want something to root for, especially I'm a baseball and hockey guy, too. There's no baseball games on. You know, it's just a dead night to baseball, which baseball seems to be smart this year. They're not scheduling as many games on Monday and Thursday nights. They know they're going to lose to football. So good for baseball. Sometimes you got to realize that. You're dealing with a monster. Right? So why go up against them? You can't beat it. So good for them. It's something I've always criticized the NHL about, is that yeah, but generally the Tuesday after Monday Night Football, the first week of the NHL season, there's no baseball either. Baseball's off that night.
Yep.
Yet NHL doesn't take advantage of that. They open up on the Wednesday. Smart. Open up when the baseball playoffs start. Awesome. Great PR there. I'll just never understand that. But hey, once again, I digress. Something else.
No one ever accused Gary Bettman of knowing his audience. That is for sure.
Ain't that the truth? 100% correct there.
So just to go back to our poll from last hour, it looks like the New Orleans-Atlanta over-under is most intriguing with 38% of the vote. Not surprising that the largest number is what drew people in. Giants-Houston, 42.5, coming in at second. So I wonder if it's the sort of the biggest number, the smallest number, or where people are pushing their thoughts. And also always interesting when you talk over-unders that I do think the general sense of Joe Q public is to think of the over, like to think, oh, here's the line, I want to go over it, and not really consider the under bet. And I think you made the great point before, George, of the under is not as fun. Like the under, you're sweating until the final whistle blows almost every time. Whereas the over, you can be in the third quarter and have, you know, pop the champagne bottles and say, all right, we can move on to the next one because you've already hit the over. So it is an intriguing sort of sociological and psychological debate there of how people look at over unders.
And we all do that. It's just listen, my brother is crazy. Let me tell you something about my brother. Now he's he doesn't really root for a team. You know, if you tied him down, he'll say he's an Eagles fan, but he's not. He doesn't give a crap. But he'll come over, he'll watch the games. Now he'll have three drinks. He'll have a coffee, a soda, and a beer. It's just weird. And you don't know which order he's going to drink them in, because it's like, what are you doing? And he doesn't really watch the listen, I have a complete man room here. I do have three TVs above my fireplace. I can watch three different games. Plus, I have the laptop going with the Red Zone channel. So we have everything we could want here. But yet, all he follows is his screen on his computer. And he just tells me, oh, go to the Green Bay game. They're in the Red Zone. That's all he's following. And then he has this piece on paper, spiral notebook. He'll have all his bets. And my God, they're all like $5 bets. They're all little bets, but they're everything you could imagine. He loves his prop bets. And it's hilarious. Because all I see was making check marks. Okay, won this one, lost this one. He'll have 50 bets on a day slate, you know, on Sunday afternoon. The 1-4s, he'll have 50 bets. I'm like, hey, you're out of your mind. All right? I mean, just pick a couple of big ones, you know, but because you can't really – you make a whole – literally, that's not a joke. I'm not exaggerating. It'll be a $55 bets. I mean, you're going to break about even or lose 20, lose 30 bucks somewhere around there or win 20, 30. It's the only way it's going to work with the VIGs. So it's just a – you know, it's – it's a mind, but it's how he enjoys the game. Yeah, like I said, he's not a fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, so I get that. I'm a big fan. He's a big fantasy guy, too. He's in all my leagues together, all the home leagues together. He's a good player, but he needs to have all those. He needs to have action on everything. I mean, literally everything. Coin toss, you'll have interceptions. You know, I think he bets on does a score end in an odd or even number? None of this would shock me. I don't even follow his bets anymore because they're crazy. But I like prop bets, too. I do. They're fun. And I'm not against doing the same thing he does. On a standalone game, I'll do it. You know, like I said, Thursday night game, I'm home. That's the only thing that's on. Sure, I may make five or six. You know, I'm not doing betting everything. I'm not going to bet how long the national anthem is, which he's done.
You're missing out.
Which, by the way, is the overrun is generally about 220 for a national anthem. I can tell you this. The more high-profile the game, the more that's going. Those singers want to be on TV forever. Super Bowl, you know, that thing's going 4 minutes. Take the over.
Yeah, there are lots of A's and wave at the end of the national anthem during the Super Bowl. We have our new poll up. And listen, I love the prop bets for the fun of it, but also do use them for fantasy, for daily fantasy especially, because, again, Vegas is setting, or wherever the book is setting a standard, setting a baseline for what they expect the player output to be. And again, they want money on both sides, typically, and they want you to, you know, bet accordingly. But it at least gives you an idea of what the experts who are setting these lines feel is a baseline for said game. So it does give you an idea of who they see as potential big plays. I do use it a lot for baseball with K-props and just trying to figure out, is there a pitcher I'm missing out on because of one reason or another? And same in football for receptions, for rushing yards. I do like to just at least take them into consideration when it comes to how we're setting our DFS lineups, especially. We have a few more games to get to. Do want to let you guys know the poll is open. Next one up is which backup running back are you most likely to play in DFS? And listed there, Gio Bernard, Latavius Murray, Tevin Coleman, or Corey Clement. So want to get your take there. Clement, the clubhouse, the early leader, along with Latavius Murray at 30%. So let's try to get through the rest of these games and not leave anything per chance. New Orleans and Atlanta. This is obviously going to be a heavily owned one from Daily Fantasy. Feels like one where you start everybody and their mother. And, you know, somebody's mother may have a couple of receptions in this one when all is said and done. George, seems like this should be a gigantic high upside. Divisional game with tons of scoring, little defense. Do you see anyone who you don't want to start in this one? Is there any red flag for you of somebody who you think just is going to not perform this week in this contest?
Yeah, I mean, once again, this is one of those games. New Orleans doesn't have a ton of fantasy starters here. Breeze, Thomas, Kamara, obviously. Other than that, who are you starting? Ben Watson?
Yep, that's a good point.
Yeah, probably not Ben Watson. You know, once again, I think I can do better there. So I'm not going him. They don't have a secondary receiver yet that broke out. I mean, we're hearing noise about Traquan Smith, but I'll need to see something from him before I think about starting him. He's a guy maybe during bye weeks when you're down some players, but not during week three. Bye start next week, by the way. So no on New Orleans. Atlanta, it really comes down to, I mean, once again, you're starting Coleman, you're starting Jones, I assume you're starting Ryan. But once again, I can be talked out of that depending on who your second quarterback is. But it comes down to the secondary receivers. And that includes the tight end. You know, Hooper, Sanu, Ridley. You know, that gets a little tricky there. Hooper, I could see being a replacement for Jack Doyle this week. Yep. He's a lower-end tight end. Not someone I'm dying to get in there. I'd rather have Ebron, by the way. That just hurts to say. If I had a choice between Ebron and Hooper, I'll take Ebron. Because I think, that once again, they'll have no choice but to throw to him. Sanu, Ridley. It was Sanu week one. Ridley got the touchdown last week. He's sort of playing with fire here, trying to guess which one here. I think I still prefer Sanu, but I don't think he's a definite start here. I don't. Once again, I think this comes down to what's on your roster, where else you can go with. I don't like him. I think he's a low-end wide receiver three, flex play, somewhere around there. So once again, he's not a must-start. That's the bottom line here. It depends on what else you have on your roster.
Yep. From a DFS perspective, this is a full game stack for me. I think Hooper is very much in play when it comes to daily fantasy. He's 29 or 2600 over on DK. So I have, lineups that have Ryan, Tevin Coleman, Hooper, or, Ryan, Hooper, and Sanu. And then on the other side, Kamara and Thomas, or Drew Brees, Thomas and Kamara, and then some pieces on the other side, going full game stack with this one, hoping to have a gigantic offensive output. And obviously, that means that it's going to be the backup of the backup quarterback who's in there. So plenty still to get to here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz bringing you through week number 3 of the NFL season. We have the new poll up. Please vote in that. We'll talk about it in the next segment. We're taking your calls in the next segment. 844-843-6879 right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz. It's always tough, George, when the show starts back up and you need to cough and you have to figure out how to stifle that and get back in. But we made it, George. We are surviving here. Week number 3 of the NFL season. We continue on talking game by game, and the phone lines are open if you want to hop in. Next up, Tennessee and Jacksonville. The Jaguars are 2-0. The Titans 1-1. Last I saw, Mike Vrabel was saying that Marcus Mariota's elbow issue was still an issue, and there's some throws he can't make, which is something you never want to hear said about a quarterback if you have them on your roster. What's this game for you? I haven't really dug into it. I have some, Westbrook and other wide receiver exposure, Moncrief from Jacksonville in DFS, but not something I've really broken down for week number 3 from a betting or a season-long perspective. What do you have here?
Not a lot. How about that? When it comes to Tennessee, their offensive line's beat up. All right, so that's an issue because this is a team that needs that offensive line because that's what they're built around on offense, to be able to run the ball with Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis and the flip-out pass to Deion Lewis. And now Mariota is iffy at best, and even if he does, I don't think it really changes much of my game plan here as far as starting him. I did claim Mariota in one of my home leagues, but that's because it's a strict two-quarterback league. And I'll need him during the bye weeks, which is, for me, starting week 7. Once again, it shows you need to think ahead sometimes to fantasy leagues. You know, things aren't working. I claimed Jameis Winston in almost all leagues. Like, I was able to get him late. And I it was a backup quarterback. He'll be back in week 4. Well, not so much. You know, it looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to keep that job a little longer here, so I need to cover myself. Someone got impatient with Mariota, released him. In a two-quarterback league, I think that's crazy, but they did. So I don't need him to play this week. Don't need him to play next week. I need him to play by week 6. You know, thinking long term here, and I'll go with that. And by the way, this is also why I much prefer a super flex over a two quarterback league. Because in a two quarterback league, all quarterbacks are gone. You know, your quarterbacks get hurt, you have no one to plug in there. At least in a super flex,
yep,
you could always plug in a running back, wide receiver, tight end. You get some points. You're not going to get as many points as a quarterback, but you'll get some. So I always prefer a super flex over a two quarterback. Take some of the injury luck away. So I like that. So I grabbed Mariota. Not expecting big things here. That wasn't why I grabbed him. I just wanted a backup quarterback. And yippee-yay. I don't like really anybody in the passing game this week. I wouldn't like him. And even if Mariota was healthy, I wouldn't like him. Even though Tennessee beat Jacksonville twice last year, still wouldn't like him. With the chance of Blaine Gabbert starting, I'm going to pass here. I got to tell you, I don't like anybody. Maybe Deion Lewis. I can be talking to Deion Lewis, PPR, catch passes out of the backfield. That is it for Tennessee. I think Jacksonville shuts them down. I know we're going to like to make the argument. Jacksonville comes off the big win over New England, right? And there'll be a letdown. I might actually go buy into that, but there's two problems. One, I already said it. Tennessee beat them twice last year. And two, it's a divisional game. And even three, it's a home game. I don't think Jacksonville lays an egg here. I don't. I think they'll take care of business against Tennessee. Not that I like anybody on Jacksonville either. Fournette's still banged up. Yeldon's banged up. I think they both play. You know, I think it'll be Fournette's game, but not the normal workload. You know, maybe a 60-40 workload to keep him healthy for next week. So if Fournette starts, you have to start him. I'm not expecting big things here. Tennessee still has a decent defense. The wide receivers for Jacksonville, you're playing a guessing game. Who's going to break out this week? It was Cole last week. It's going to be Westbrook this week. Is it Moncrief? You know, there's just too many cooks in the kitchen here to bank on. I think Cole's going to be your most consistent wide receiver for Jacksonville week in and week out. So he's for the type of player I am, conservative. I'm not looking for any of these guys to light the world on fire. I have other wide receivers on my fantasy team to light the world on fire. Consistency, there's something to be said for that. Knowing that I'm going to get a certain amount of points from Cole, I'll take that and run. He's the guy I'd rather have here.
All right, we do have a phone call here. The phone lines are open during this segment as we make our way through week 3. I do have I agree on Keelan Cole, and it's a sort of a cash game or baseline play. You know he's going to get some targets. It's like Quincy Enunwa for me. It's just somebody that I trust to at least have enough volume to give me a baseline that I can trust, but you go for the home runs with some other wide receivers in that lineup. James from New York City, you are on with Dan and George, Fantasy Sports Today. What do you have for us this morning?
Hey, how are you? I got a question. I have 3 spots for wide receivers, and I have 4 wide receivers and a full point PPR. I don't know who to start. Contemplating between DeAndre Hopkins, Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, and Will Fuller.
George, I think Hopkins is, you know, the far and away one. You slot him in, and then you figure out the other three, other two. What do you got, George?
I got okay.
Yeah, James.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I got Robinson, who's playing on the road against Arizona, and Devontae Adams, who I'm probably most likely going to start against Washington on the road. So it's pretty much either do I start Robinson on the road against Arizona, or do I start Will Fuller home against the Giants?
Yeah, that is what it is. You're never benching Adams. You're not benching Hopkins. You're not even thinking
exactly
about benching Hopkins. I could see you go. You're worried about Adams in case Josh Norman's going to travel and go all over the field against him. But I don't think that's going to happen here. So you're starting Adams. You're starting Hopkins. Allen Robinson, I would also almost automatically put in there. It's not so much on the road against Arizona that bothers me. It's Patrick Peterson that bothers me. I don't expect Peterson to travel either. So that's going to be my deciding factor. I think Robinson will get enough to get his, maybe even get in the end zone, that I'll start Allen Robinson here. I don't know if I want to start both Houston wide receivers here. The Giants' secondary is not bad. Eli Apple is out for this game, so it's not as strong as it once was either. But I don't think I can sit Robinson for Fuller, but I can think about it. Bottom line is this. I don't think you can go wrong here. Because even though I'm starting Robinson over Fuller, and I have that in my rankings, they're separated by two slots, which means it's personal preference here, whichever you prefer. You think it's going to be a big game at home for Houston tomorrow? We already discussed this game. I think Houston wins this game. I think it might even be fairly easy here. I can't blame you for going either way. If you want to tell me Fuller has the higher upside, I can't argue with that either. So I said, I think this is a coin flip here. I would start Robinson, but it's very close.
It's okay. James, thanks for the call. Thank you. Hopefully that helps. George, it's funny. I think that's one of those psychological studies again of starting two wide receivers from the same team. Like the idea of, can they both get there? As you know, Hopkins is going to be a target and a target monster in that game. But can you foresee a place where both get there? It's tough. It's tough to sort of split the baby in that way when you're trying to figure out your lineup. I do like Robinson a bit more, but I think you make a great point about it being personal preference at that point. It's almost a pick 'em. Pick what you like, prefer, and if you do have the sort of psychological block that you can't start two guys from the same team in the same position, then definitely go Robinson. We do have another caller on the line. It's good to hear from him week in and week out. Kenny in Philadelphia. How you doing this morning, sir?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you guys doing? How you doing, Jersey?
Oh, my back hurts, Kenny. I'm tired. I could use an egg sandwich, you know. Just a normal Saturday morning.
It's the first day of autumn, man. It's catching up to you already?
I hate autumn, man. Come on, we're in the Northeast, Kenny. You know, we're going to pay for this in a couple of months.
Yeah, we are, but guess what? October is the only month where all sports are being played here, man. We got to enjoy this here, man. So
I agree with you. It's my favorite time of year.
You said they got Eli Abboy. They got Olivier Vernon. They got a couple guys out here. I love the Houston. Loading up Deshaun Watson. All those guys up in DFS for it, I'm concerned. That's going to be an interesting game, I guess.
Well, absolutely. It's interesting if you're a Texan. It's not if you're a Giant. I think this game – I think the Giants are in a lot of trouble. I really do. I think they're going to – I'm not going to say they're going to wish Bob McAdoo was back, but I don't think Pat Sherman's going to get off to a good start at all this season.
Right. All right, my friend put out he played two bets this week. You guys think that the Minnesota-Buffalo game, you know, Minnesota's favored by 16.5. You think Buffalo is 16.5 points bad on the road while going to Minnesota? What do you guys think about it? And the Arizona-Chicago game. They got Chicago about 6.5.
I'm going to struggle with that Buffalo-Minnesota game. I don't know. 17 is a gigantic number. 16.5 is a gigantic number. But, Kenny, this is a bad football team. This is a bad football team. And with LeSean McCoy being banged up too, this has like two interceptions for Allen written all over it. It just has this absolute blowout. Now, to George's point earlier, the backdoor cover always scares me in this sort of game where the backups are in for the Vikings. They're up 24-3. They're up 27-3, whatever it is, and you get two late scores that completely wipe out the bet. George, what about you? I assume you're not comfortable with that big a line as a bet for any game in the NFL.
Whenever I see that big a line, I almost always want to take the points. Almost always want to take the points. But you said it. LeSean McCoy has broken rib cartilage. Now, I don't know about you. That sounds painful. It just sounds painful. Like that's got to hurt. Like, there's no way he can finish this game. You know, I don't even know why they're starting him. Let him get healthy for a week. It's a game you can't win anyway. Minnesota, very tough defense. But the reason why I'm thinking about taking the points is because, you know, I said it earlier. I don't blame Minnesota for doing this. But they're already resting a couple of guys because they play Thursday. I wonder if they, you know, and they're coming off the tie against Green Bay, a division game, big game. This does have letdown. Not that they would lose the game, but it does have letdown written all over it. It really does. And they're resting guys. So I wonder if the rest of the team's like, oh, it's a bye week. You know, it's a preseason game almost. They're not quite taking it seriously here. I'm not going to touch it personally, but if I was, I think I would take Buffalo on the points. I almost always want to. It something smells about this game.
Right. Onto my Saints. I'm glad we eked out a win last week. It was ugly, but maybe going on the road is a good thing. But I think this is a must win for us. We cannot go 0-2 in the division if we have any contention in the NFC, especially with teams like the Bears. The Bears coming around, and you know, so for the future, I think this is definitely a must win. Us in Atlanta, you know, it's going to be a divisional rivalry, blow for blow. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but you guys have a good weekend. I'll be listening.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. And that's going to be my favorite game to watch, I think. I think the entire weekend, I hope that lives up to what I expected to from an offensive perspective, George. And I think it should. We talked about it at length earlier. To update everyone on the poll, some votes in, and Latavius Murray sort of a runaway winner right now at 48%. Then you have Corey Clement at 22%. Tevin Coleman at 18%, and Gio Bernard down there at 12%. So get your votes in over at FNTSY Radio. We'll continue to update you through the end of today's show, which is coming up in about a half hour. And at the top of the hour, you do get College Football Today. The crew bringing you up to noon, when most of noon and through, I should say. Most of those games kick off for your day, a full day of college football, noon on through to the West Coast games, and 10 o'clock starts, and then you have NFL all day tomorrow. Hopefully you're not watching on a 13-inch black and white TV, as I made a joke before, but you get to enjoy some of those games throughout the day. Here in my hometown, we have a wiffle ball tournament to support my daughter's elementary school, so I'll be heading to that right after the end of the show. So next week, George, you will hear how I threw out my arm throwing a wiffle ball too many times. So I look forward to that. Let's continue on as we talk game
Been
by
there,
game here.
That.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't really? You haven't lived until your elbow is throbbing from playing wiffle ball. We talked Tennessee-Jacksonville. We go into the 4 o'clock here quickly, and we'll get through these. In the last segment, we'll talk some daily fantasy. And we will also take any questions from Twitter about start sits. Again, at FNTSY Radio. You can find me at Dan Schaffert and George at George Kurtz. Pretty straightforward there. We have the Chargers and the Rams, the battle of teams not really from L.A., but from L.A. The Chargers are 1-1. The Rams are 2-0. This should be a good one. Not one that I've jumped into in depth, but this seems like a good matchup. Two offenses that should have high upside, two defenses that maybe from this East Coast are a little underrated when it comes to overall stats. What do you got here, George? Is this one that you're looking forward to watching in the 4 o'clock hour?
I am. I certainly am. I think it's going to be an interesting game here. I think the Rams are going to win the game. But Chargers this week, one of the most dropped fantasy defenses of the season so far. Chargers was supposed to be a top defense, and then it seemed they've had injuries. You know, that certainly hurt them. Joey Bosa hasn't played yet. I think that's the big loss there. I think this team will go. They'll go back to being a DST1 once Bosa returns, but that's a couple of weeks away, it looks like. But that's been their issue so far. Defense has not been up to par here. I mean, listen, I think the Rams have one of the best defenses in the league, right up there with Minnesota. I think this is a defense that is only going to get better as the season goes along, and all those free agents sort of you know, they melt in, and everybody starts playing on the same, rowing the same oar, as they like to say, rowing the same boat there. So but what are you going to do? You're still starting Melvin Gordon. You're still starting Keenan Allen. You're not starting Phillip Rivers this week. I wouldn't. Now, I assume you could be able to do better. Rivers in most leagues wasn't drafted as a quarterback one anyway. So you're going the other direction. I think Rivers is going to be great for most of the season, not this week. Austin Eckler has gotten a lot of love. I'm not starting him this week. You know, Antonio Gates, no. It's just Gordon. It's just Keenan Allen. Yeah, you know, I've said this many times about the Rams. You know, in my mind, this is the Cowboys from the 90s. You know, what sure. I mean by that is Goff is going to be a very good quarterback, but not a very good fantasy quarterback. Yes, he'll have some games where he throws three touchdowns. But for the most part, it'll be the running game and the defense, and they'll control the game. And they'll win that way, and they'll win easily that way.
I have a question for you, and this is somewhat off topic, but if folks are on Twitter, I'm sure you saw the firestorm. What was it, Wednesday and Thursday, when some sports radio personality tweeted out that Ryan Fitzpatrick had 20 more touchdowns in 20 less games than Trey Aikman did. I don't know if you saw it, George, set off a whole conversation about NFL beat reporters slagging on fantasy and then arguments and so on. What's your take on Aikman as a quarterback in the 90s? Is he a product of the talent around him? Did you think he was more talented than his numbers yielded? Obviously, it's a different era. You know, offenses were based on the run. Defenses could do a lot more in holding and hitting and hitting quarterbacks, hitting wide receivers. But what's your take as a Dallas Cowboys fan about Aikman's legacy and about his overall stat line week over week?
Well, first of all, you can never compare eras. People do that. You're kidding yourself. You really are. As you already pointed it out, it was a completely different game back then. Emmitt Smith would carry the ball 30, 35 times a game.
Yep.
They would do that over and over. That's just the way the running backs were built back then. You know, that players nowadays are bigger, stronger, faster. That's just the way it is. Aikman could have put up numbers as good as anybody else. he was not asked to do so. He didn't need to do so. You know, Jimmy Johnson didn't believe in that. Jimmy Johnson always had a strong defense, not really a great, great defense, but a very strong defense, and they had a great running game. They had a great offensive line. You know, so they controlled the game that way. They didn't need Aikman to put the ball up 30 times a game, 40 times a game, and no one did back then anyway. Different type of game. Aikman, I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I wouldn't say the greatest of the greats. I wouldn't. I think there were definitely quarterbacks better than him, but he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You want to compare touchdown passes. That's the only thing. It's like in baseball, just saying home runs are the only thing that matters. So Mark McGwire is one of the greatest players ever. Are you kidding me? You know, I don't think Mark McGwire is a Hall of Famer, not because of the steroids, but because he was a one-trick pony. That's all he did. You know, so I think it's, like I said, I think it's kind of silly to compare errors. You compare players in the era they played in.
Yep. And to your point, Aikman wasn't one of the best in his era. He was very, very good, if not top five, you know, but there were quarterbacks who were better than him. But he was on great teams and did a great job leading that team. So I do think he's a Hall of Famer. But it was just a funny conversation to see. We do have two more games to get to before we close out the show. And we'll talk some DFS and some betting lines. Coming up after the break, funny how fast 2 hours go here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz, breaking down week number three. As always, find us over on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio, at Dan Schaffer, at George Kurtz. Coming back to close out the show after this on Fantasy Sports Today.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
So, George, I assume you're lifting me, or am I lifting you at the end of this?
I already said I got the bad back, so enjoy.
Oh, boy. Everybody can picture baby in the corner. We get through the final two games here on Sean doing some magic with the music on this show. Final two games, then we'll talk some DFS and close out the show, turn it over to College Football Today, get those guys in for the start of your college football day. Chicago, Arizona, we talked honestly at length about this game already. Kenny had a bit of a question on it, so did James, asking about Allen Robinson. This is probably an ugly game from an offensive perspective. Assume the Bears' defense has a high upside here. Plenty of sacks to go around with Bradford and this bad offensive line. This offense coordinator and coach Steve Wilkes there for the Cardinals need to figure out how to get David Johnson more involved, which is amazing that week three they're still figuring that out. But what do you got here? I guess you obviously start David Johnson. I know Larry Fitz is dealing with some injuries. Anything else jump off the page at you from this game other than the Bears defense?
Is it an obvious Dave Johnson start? I've got so many questions this week. So many questions about David Johnson. It is. All right. I'm not saying it's not. But I tell you, man, I don't know. And I don't own Johnson anywhere. And it's not because I didn't think he would he'd have a good year. You know, anything like that. It's not. I just didn't have any top four picks. You know, God forbid, in redraft leagues, I get a top pick in leagues. So I don't have any shares of anybody as far as Elliott, Johnson, Bell, or Todd Gurley, at least not in regular leagues. And in Superflex are two quarterback leagues I do, but that's because quarterbacks go early in those leagues, so I was able to get them later. But is he – I think I probably have to start him, but I hate the matchup. I got to tell you, I hate it. It's against Chicago, very good defense. Fitzgerald may or may not play. If Fitzgerald's out, he might as well put all 11 guys in the box. All right, I'm not so sure the Cardinal receivers can do any damage if nobody's on them. All right, it's so – but yeah, bottom line is I have to start him, but I hate it. I truly hate because I'm only starting him because you start your studs. And that's it.
Yep.
But I would love to hear. And the people who've sent me questions about starting over Johnson, they just haven't been deep enough for me to be able to pull that trigger. I can't start a running back three over him. If you had two running back twos, yeah, I can do it. Because I think Johnson this week is a high running back two as well. I don't think he's running back one anymore. But I need to see better of what you have. You know, I can't start lower. I can't start your second running back being another, guy that I just don't trust there. Nick Chubb came up in one thing. Jordan Wilkins was a popular one as far as starting over him. I can't go there. I can't. You know, anybody on Green Bay can't go there over Johnson. Not yet. You know, I think that's going too far down the list. I need RB2s, or at least top RB3s. All I'm seeing on the questions I've been asked, and this is not abnormal. Nobody has, or at least most of us don't have, great running back depth, you know, to be able to afford this. But I probably could, assuming you have a strong running back one, I could start the backups we've talked about. Murray, Giovanni Bernard, Clement. I can probably pull a trigger there. I probably could, because I have all those guys that are running back twos. Those are the kind of guys I'm talking about where I could pull that trigger. But I don't know if he's an automatic start. I don't. Fitzgerald, you know, once again, if he's there, you're probably starting him, but I hate it. When is Josh Rosen coming in? That's really the only question I have here. As for Chicago, you know, their offense really hasn't gotten on track yet. Trubisky hasn't looked great yet. And I don't know if this is going to be the game for it either. Playing in the desert. Even when the Cardinals are bad, it seems to be difficult for the other teams. It's going to be hot. It's going to be warm there. I'd like to see how they handle this. Is this the week for Trey Burton? Or he really gets untracked? He has a big game? Wondering that. Allen Robinson had the big game last week. Didn't score, but had a truckload of catches. Actually, cost me a week, that last catch, you bastard. so I'm not starting Trubisky. Starting Robinson. Probably starting Burton, unless your tight end is really deep there. But and the running game, yes, Jordan Howard, I think, has played more than well. I have no issues with him either.
Fantastic. It's gonna be a messy game. It's just gonna be a messy game. But I agree with your assessment on David Johnson. I don't see how you get away from him unless you're in an 8-team league where you have studs at every roster spot, and you can make the choice then. But hopefully the Cardinals figure it out, because you have one of the best players in the league and you're not using them the right way. Pretty crazy to see. Updating the poll, Latavius Murray will be the runaway winner here. He's at 50% of the vote. And then you have Corey Clement, Tevin Coleman, Gio Bernard in that order, 21%, 16%, and 13% of the votes. Let's talk the final 4 o'clock game. You have the Sunday night game, which New England, Detroit. You'll hear from George throughout the weekend, so you can get George's take on that heading into Sunday night football. Dallas and Seattle here. This Seattle team's terrible. We talked about it the first week, that this was really a team over-under that I was looking to get the under on. I couldn't find a solid line on it. I saw 9. I saw 8.5 for a win total. And I said, and this is a victory lap, I said this is a bad football team with a bad offensive line, a bad idea of how they're going to run this team. And here they are 0-2 going against Dallas, which is another team that's struggling on the offensive line at 1-1. Is this where Seattle gets off the mat and gets a victory, George? Or do you see Dallas having a solid game plan here against the Seahawks?
You know, it's funny. I write a column that comes out each Friday. Backups you can use this week in fantasy. And, I even DSTs. I include DSTs there. And I picked Seattle as my DST to start this week. But I also put in the column, if this would have been in Texas, I would have picked Dallas to be the DST you could start.
Yep.
This game, I think, is going to be boring, going to be ugly. I picked Seattle because, Russell Wilson, at least he could do something. You know, maybe make a play here and there. I think Dallas will get at the Wilson. I think they're going to, you've seen that Dallas front seven is legit. Their defense is better than their offense. I mean, it's funny how this goes. We have more intrigue going on in Seattle. Earl Thomas stayed away from the team yesterday. And now there's question marks about whether or not he plays Sunday. Interesting where this comes up when it's the Dallas Cowboys. You know, because a team that he desperately wants to play for. We know that.
Yep.
You know, and my feeling has always been, this is Seattle's home opener, that if they were going to trade him, it would be after this game. They wanted to play him. They didn't want Earl Thomas to return to Seattle when Dallas does and play for the Cowboys in their home
opener.
That wasn't going to happen. All right, so if he was going to be traded, it would be this week. So I wonder, does this play a part in it? Is Earl Thomas thinking, you know what, if I'm going to get traded to Dallas, I probably don't want to be on the field helping to beat the Cowboys. I like to make the playoffs. You know, you wonder if that, I doubt that's what's at issue here. But it's the first thing I thought of is that, wow, he must really think he's going to the Cowboys, doesn't want to help beat them. You know, so bottom line is I think Seattle wins the game. I do. It's at home. I think this is a 17-14 game, somewhere around there, 20-17. You know, it's an ugly game. Neither team has much of an offense. Cowboys can't throw the ball. I think Bobby Wagner's back in the game. He'll help slow down Zeke. You know, I'm sure Dak will do some things, but I mentioned earlier in the show, Everybody points to, well, he hit Taven Austin on that great, on the bomb, first, second play of the game. He did. Great play. He was terrible after that. I mean, that Dallas, they didn't have anything going on the in the passing game. It's all about the Zeke Elliott, what he can do. Dallas doesn't have much of a passing offense. Neither does Seattle. You know, and the problem with Seattle is they don't have much of a running offense either. You know, right. Whatever happened with Chris Carson last week, where Carroll first said it was because he was gassed on special teams, then tried to backtrack off that. They're a mess. Seattle is a real mess there. Here, if it was in Dallas, I'd pick Dallas. If it's in Seattle, I'll pick Seattle. I think these are both two. I think Dallas at best a 500 team. I don't think the Hawks are even that, but I think they get this win in their home opener.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is an ugly game on paper and both in practice. So I will stay away from that one and make sure I'll watch it. You know, obviously think it's intriguing enough from an NFL perspective, but the 4 o'clock game I'm most interested in is the Chargers and Rams. To go through quickly here, George, some DFS plays, maybe some of the bets that you are on or ones that you have placed so the listeners can track along with you. But DFS first, who are the most intriguing quarterbacks, or if you've started to construct some lineups, who are the guys that you've rostered the most thus far?
Well, you know, I think Dane's got a point. About you heard in the promo, if you listened to the commercial, about stacking 49ers this week. I don't think that's crazy. But at quarterback, I mean, is it really worth the $500 to go Garoppolo over Mahomes? I'm looking at DraftKings, by the way, if anybody's wondering. Mahomes at 7,000, Garoppolo's at 6,500. I think I'm still going Mahomes here. So I'll go Mahomes as my quarterback there, only because it's just the money's there. It's just not enough for me to go to not go with him. As for a wide receiver, I think this was a little tougher for me to find out guys I really wanted, especially cheaper guys. Generally, I go a little cheaper at wide receiver, and I like to pay for my running backs because I think it's been harder so far this year to find the running backs you like. So I think I'm going with more high-end running backs so far this season. Don't like doing that, but that's the way I've been going here. And it's funny, we downplayed Will Fuller before, but he's in some lineups. You know, secondary guy. I think Giants beat up Eli Apple out there. I really like Houston this week. I think I don't think they're going to have too many options here. I shouldn't say I am. In a league or two, I have stacked. I've gone Pierre Garçon, but I really don't trust him all that much. I am worried there. I do like Sammy Watkins at 5,100. I mentioned San Fran. Secondary, not very good. They have some issues there. Cooper Kupp at 4,900 is someone I also like this week. Geronimo Allison, 4,500. Don't mind him either. Those are guys I can take a look at wide receivers. Running backs, Kamara at 9,500 is still too much. Gurley at 9,200 is still too much. You know, I can't go that direction. I do like CMC at 7,800. Once again, catching balls out of the backfield. I'm staying away from Elliott and Barkley. They're both too touchdown dependent. I don't like their matchups all that much, and I'm not going to pay the price for them. All right, we already knocked down Johnson. There's no way at 7,200 I'm going for him. Melvin Gordon, 7,400, bad matchups, not going it. You're looking at the guys we talked about, the secondary guys, the Murrays, Giovanni Bernards, Clements. You can go with one of them and a top guy and still have money to pay for a tight top wide receiver, top tight end, whichever way you want to go. For tight end, George Kittle, 4,500. Once again, I agree with Dane. I like Kittle. I think Garoppolo has missed him for some big plays. Kittle also dropped what would have likely been an 80-yard touchdown versus Minnesota in week one. So I think he's just hasn't gotten on track yet. You want to go Kelce, you want to stack for that 6,700 against San Fran? That doesn't bother me either.
Lots of options here. I like a lot of your takes there, George. I have some different looks at quarterback. I do have Matt Ryan and Drew Brees in a lot of spots going with the stack from that game. Jimmy G and Mahomes I'm fine with. Completely understand it. I think from a cash game perspective, getting the one you trust the most here in their matchup, and I do think that might be Brees at 6,400 at the price point against Atlanta. But Jimmy G at 6,500 makes a ton of sense on DK as well. 500 more for Mahomes has the giant upside. Andy Reid is concerned that as more teams get film on Mahomes, it may be tough for him to put up the numbers he's putting up. Good job, Andy. Yeah, we agree. But the hope is that your offense continues to churn out the numbers they have. Running back, I think you have tons of options. I do agree that the $9,500 price tag in Kamara is prohibitive, but if you want to differentiate, in that game especially, going with Kamara and going cheap at wide receiver may make a ton of sense. Christian McCaffrey is getting a ton of looks, obviously, and on a PPR site has a ton of upside. Then you do go through those value guys, Gio Bernard, Corey Clement, Latavius Murray. I think Jordan Howard and Kareem Hunt are intriguing middle-of-the-road guys at 65 and 6K. And then I will throw Breda into the mix here against Kansas City with the injuries they have. I think Breda and Alfred Morris have some upside. Wide receiver, obviously, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones. These high-end guys are high-end for a reason. Tyreek Hill, all in play if you want to go and pay up at wide receiver. If you're looking for middle ground guys, I do think that the Jacksonville wide receivers are intriguing. I don't know which one, as George said before, to lock in. I think it's going to be a tough guessing game there. I do feel like Nelson Agholor is overpriced now if he's playing on the outside at 6,100. And then you get into the middle ground of wide receiver, George, where I think that even the cheaper side, you have to make decisions around the Westbrooks and the Moncriefs and Will Fullers. You have to talk about guys like Mohamed Sanu and Ridley in that matchup, and then see what else you like, maybe as a Kansas City wide receiver two or somebody from San Francisco, and then some of the other upside guys who have the major upside at a cheaper price point. Tight end, Kittle, Austin Hooper for me. Those are the two tight ends I'm rostering most as of right now. I don't think you can go wrong paying up at tight end if you really want to go to some of the higher end guys. Obviously, Gronkowski in the night game, so won't be a part of this main slate on DraftKings or FanDuel or any of the main sites. So those are my picks. And defenses, Vikings and Texans are the two I own the most in DFS. I do have one that I built around the Giants defense to start the week just because they're so cheap and the Texans have given up a bit from their offensive line, but I just don't think I can go that cheap and expect anything out of the Giants defense this weekend with the like I have for Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. All right, George, what about some bets? Where did you place any? Do you have any that you're thinking about or ones that you might suggest to the listeners as we close out the show on this Saturday morning?
I placed a few earlier in the week. I mentioned I really like the over on the night game tomorrow night, New England, Detroit. I don't think either team really going to be able to stop the other on any kind of consistent basis. You and I argue disagree. I like the over on the Green Bay Washington game, and I took that as well. As far as I did some props too, which I always do, nowhere near what my idiotic brother does, but I did a few just to have some fun during the games. And it's funny, I generally don't even pay attention to the props all that much. I don't even remember what half of them are, and I'll just see at the end. They're only, once again, $5, so I'm not worried about winning or losing all that much. As far as straight bets, I think those are a little tougher. I didn't see anything I truly love where, once again, you look for the mistake or what you think the mistake is.
Yep.
Philadelphia -7. I kind of like that. It's at home, Carson Wentz. I just wish they weren't as banged up. But then again, if they weren't as banged up, the spread might be a little higher there. So I get it there, but that's something I like here. I haven't placed it yet, but the more we talk about it, and it's really something we've talked about today during this game, and even Kenny called in, Houston -6. I'm starting to like that an awful lot. You know, so that's something I like there. I'm not touching that Minnesota, which is now at -17. Not touching that. I just, even though I think Minnesota, I know Minnesota's a better team, I'm just worried about that backdoor cover there. So that's it. I'm not going to do anything else. Seattle at 1.5. Man, I do think Seattle wins this game, but unless Dallas can really get on him. And I think I'm taking Monday night. I'm pretty sure I'm going to take Tampa Bay in that 1.5. They're playing well. Pittsburgh can't stop anybody, and it's on the road.
Yep. I'm really on the Texans too. As we talked through it today, I thought about it yesterday, but I think that's where I'm starting to really focus some of my energy and will be focusing some of my money as Saturday night rolls around. I fully admit I'm not, as George said before, I'm not Gabe. I'm not one of the guys on this channel who are laying out a lot of money and betting every game, but I do enjoy a little bit here and there. And this Texans, -6 is really becoming intriguing. I also think the under is intriguing in that one. And I did say before, if I was going to bet the Packers Redskins, I'd go the under. But I think this discussion has led me to just leave that game alone, to just stay away, because I do like the under. But I think there's enough evidence to say that my gut take and my reasoning for it may not be the best. So have not made a bet there, nor will I, think, at this point. So that's going to do it for today's show. As always, thanks so much to Sean behind the glass. Appreciate all the hard work there. George will be with you all weekend long, so you can get plenty of George Kurtz in your life as you do every day here on FNTSY Radio. Find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. The phone number for future cases, 844-843-6879. That's going to do it for Fantasy Sports Day. Coming up next, college football. Stay tuned right here on FNTSY Radio.